Blog Talk Radio.
Can you feel it? Can you feel it? Can you feel it?
That's what
go,
I feel.
Go, hey. Go, go,
hey.
Go, go,
hey.
Go, go, shawty.
Go,
it's your birthday. We gon' party like it's your birthday. We gon' sip Bacardi like it's your birthday. And you know we don't give a fuck, cause that's your birthday. You'll find me in the club, bottle full of bug. Mama, I got what you need, if you need to fill a bar. I'm in the having sex, I ain't in the making love. So come give me a hug, you're in the getting rough. You can find me in the club, bottle full of bug.
A little bird told me, a little bird told me that we're going to be celebrating some of our birthday here real soon. What's up? What's up? Welcome to Kale's Corner. Y'all, we had to start. Excuse us for that interruption, but we had to do us for a moment. We hope everybody stayed along, stuck along, listened along, because we got some stuff to talk about. Ain't that right, Tree?
Yeah.
How are you doing today, lovey? How was your weekend?
Oh, my weekend was amazing. Like, it was really great. Yeah, it was amazing.
Wow.
I had no grandkids. I just, you know, we just relaxed.
That's what's
so
up. That's what's up.
Yeah.
I know Tang appreciates that.
Yeah, see that.
Well, my weekend was beautiful as well. I got some rest, chilled out for a little while, and we went over my sister-in-law's house on Sunday. Now, funny story, okay? The last time I was over my sister-in-law's house, she had a little tiny little lap dog, right?
Mm-hmm.
Just did a lot of barking, and just, you know, the type of dog that just like to know, like to let you know, she was there. I was cool with her. Girl, she got not a pit bull, a Staffordshire Terrier now, okay? And the dog is lovable, and he is so beautiful and, you know, nice. He has a, what did they know?
Nothing.
But listen, though, listen. He has a nice brindle coat. I mean, he is to die for. He's a beautiful dog. Pretty blue eyes, you know. And but he's a puppy. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
And as a puppy, they raised him lovey-dovey, cuddled all the time, held him in their arms, walk around the house with him, you know, and you know, my son was like the first shock of, no, you don't do that in the dog's life. So now, again, the dog is young, so, you know, he still has those old habits, you know what I mean? So she told me, she said, my sister-in-law said, I'm getting ready to send him to obedience training school. He just does a little too much. When I tell you, I did not know a little too much would be climbing on my back while I'm sitting on the couch. My son said they got one of those. Yes, they got one of those little round Panama Jack chairs, and my son sat in it, you know, just chilling. Out of nowhere, this dog come and jump up in the chair with him.
No man,
girl, I mean this dog turned into the dog from hell. But he just wanted to play. You know what I mean? He wasn't trying to hurt anyone one time, but he just wanted to play. And, girl, I mean, everything. I had some sweet pickles. He wanted that. I had you know how when you're grilling, you know, you eat as you grill. The person who's normally doing the grilling eat as they grill. So, you right. know, of course, I'm grilling, so I'm eating as I grill. And he just, I mean, once he realized to equate me to food, girl, I'm trying, that dog, I was like, look, I hate Cajun dogs. I hate putting them in their cage because I just feel like that's just, it's like jail. It's like they're in jail, and no dog deserves that. You know what I mean? But that's me and my heart for dogs, you know, my love for the animals. But that dog, and his name is Charlie. Charlie is a trip. You hear me? Charlie is a trip. But I told my sister-in-law, I said, you know what? I'm going to have to come around and spend a little bit more time with Charlie so he'll know, you know what I mean, to reinforce what they put in him at obedience school, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And all I can see, Trees, exactly. I swear to goodness, that's all I could see was you saying, I don't do dogs.
No, sir.
Right.
No. Mm-mm. You want to see how fast I can run? Don't kill me if the dog in the house. And I come in the house and the dog come out of the wherever and into where I'm at. I will break down every door. I'm not even trying to open the door. Uh-huh. I'm trying to run through the door. That's how scared I am of dogs.
What if it's a little dog?
Don't, they got baby teeth that hurt. Yeah. Anybody playing with them? No. Nope. I don't play with them. I don't get in their way. I stay out of their way. And I want them to do the same for me. So I don't put myself in those kind of situations. And all
I don't know, Trees.
No.
I don't know, Trees. Like, I don't know.
And I had a little and I had a dog, but she only weighed 2 pounds.
Lord have mercy. Lord have mercy. And here it is. Hey, look, and yeah, anyway. let's move on. excuse me, Trees. She ain't right, y'all. She is not right. On this episode of KO Corner, we're going to discuss the UFC event this weekend. Oh, my goodness. Oh, my goodness. Hey, let me say this real quick. Boxing, y'all better get y'all thing together, man. Y'all better get y'all thing together. UFC, they doing it big. They are doing it big. And every fight that they put on this weekend left you like, oh, wow. Oh, my goodness. What just happened? Oh, you know what I mean? You just, it was all awe-inspiring this weekend. So we're going to get into that. We're going to talk a little MLB baseball. They're still early in the season, but who was it? The Giants and who were the Giants playing this weekend, Tree? If you're familiar.
I know, but I can't remember. Hold on. I'll tell you in 1 second.
Well, all I want to say, I know that. That's why I asked you. And I thought about that when I saw them. They had an old-fashioned I hate you baseball battle going on. They had it. Go ahead.
Colorado.
Exactly. I didn't know that they hated each other this much. And
okay.
to be honest, I didn't even know it was still rivals like this in baseball. I mean, they showed me how I was like, whoa. I mean, people getting hit with pitches and benches clearing and, hey, baseball back, baby. And they brought it back the right way. We're going to talk a little bit of NBA.
They won that game 12-9, too. They won that game 12-9, too, Kim. They didn't even let them score a run.
You just had to get that out, huh?
I had to.
You know what
I
mean? I ain't thinking about their little San Francisco. I'm all watching. We're going to get into a little bit of NBA, y'all. We're going to hey, believe it or not, Therese, I don't have a Kevin Durant story this week. Ain't that something?
That's good.
Ain't that
That's
good?
That's good. That's progress.
Yeah, but I do have a complaint with the Washington Wizards. I'm proud of the way that they're playing, but I have a complaint, and we're going to get into that. Thursday, marks the NFL draft. It's going down, baby. Meet me at the club. It's going down. I cannot wait. And it's so funny to me, Therese, how, you know, all the prognosticators and the naysayers and the this is that and that is thisers, you know what I mean?
Right.
They coming up with every – I've heard that Washington is going to take a running back with that 19th overall pick. I've heard that San Francisco made all the moves to trade up, and they don't really know who they want or what they want draft pick. It's completely, they have completely gone away. Yes. They have completely gone away from a quarterback for San Francisco. And they're saying that you guys with that third pick are going to trade back and give, I mean, it's chaos. It is all over the place, more than like usual, I'll say. You know, everybody has an opinion. And to me, to be honest, I can appreciate, you know, everybody's opinion, because it's like, we're going to make you interested, you know, no matter what, okay? But it's like some of them are just reaching too far. You know what I mean? Some of them are just, I mean, some of the things that some of these people are coming up with. And I'm like, you call yourself a football fan? Y'all can't be general managers or none of that. But anyway, those are the subjects we're going to get into. And Therese, I heard through the grapevine you got something you want to let off your mind, babe.
Oh yeah, I got a couple of announcements to make right after the, you know, you make yours.
Okay, that's what's up. So, hey, y'all, buckle up, get ready, tell somebody to tell somebody and tell somebody that they on over here at Kale's Corner, and we gonna act a fool, because, y'all, we in a good mood, you know what I mean? We
right.
Feel good today, y'all. So we're going to take this quick break, 563-999-3782, 563-999-3782. Come on, Tree. We be right back.
Yeah.
Right back at ya. It's the world's most talented record label, Murder Inc. And that angelic voice you hear in the background. Oh, that's our new princess, the hip hop and R&B.
She's coming.
Yeah, Mr. Shanti.
Thank you.
right, we're going to get right into it. I can't wait no more. Man, this UFC event this weekend, I mean, oh, my goodness, man. Oh, my. From the first fight that I watched. Now, I didn't watch too many of the preliminary fights. That's just not me. I can't get into it. I get bored quick. Yeah. So, but I did the fight that I did watch. Oh my goodness, dude was coming to the ring, right? Everybody else, and you know DMV Kale Trees, I noticed the wildest, craziest things about people. I looked at it, this man's feet. I said, he ain't got no shoes on. Everybody else coming to the ring with the UFC shoes on, and you know, they was promoting the hell out of Monster Saturday night. But I said, look at his feet, man. I wouldn't want to be kicked by that dude, man. The bones don't look right. They don't look normal. Right. And sure enough, the very first, 7 seconds into the fight, dude kicked, and as he kicked, he snapped his own shin, and he didn't know it until he went to step back and put pressure on it, and the whole leg folded. Woo!
Okay.
Woo!
Girl, close
the
ears real quick.
I know you were. But Lou, what's up, Lou?
Hey, Lou.
Hey, how are you? All right. But did you happen to see the fight where, you know, it was where one of them was being grabbed by the leg in 17 seconds? Though, oh boy, that was gruesome.
No.
Are you talking about
the same fight I'm talking about, Lou? And the guy didn't know he had broken his leg until he went and tried to put pressure on it, and the whole leg it was Joe Theismann and Alex Smith without a sock. Without the sock on, because you know the football players, they have their sock on, so we really never saw this injury or this type of situation. We never really saw it the way we saw it with this. The very first,
UFC, you know, is not for the faint of heart. That's a brutal sport. I mean, you know, you got to know how to take the pain, but even watching it, I think, can be painful because, you know, look at the moves they do, and they can really hurt.
Yeah, man. And because I pay attention to things that other people don't, not only saw the leg, I heard the crack and the pop, and I swear to you, it sounded like a board being broken in half, and I was like, wow, you ate. I can't think of anything that would be worse, Lou.
Between seeing it happen or hearing the crack, what's worse?
Hearing it.
Okay,
I can see it and not see it. But seeing it and hearing it, you know, hold on, let's break Ted in, because I was over Ted's house watching it, and both of us was like, what's up,
hey,
bro?
Hey, good evening, everybody. Hey, Lady T.
Hey, how you?
All right.
We're talking about the UFC event Saturday night.
Ooh.
And do
you saw it?
Hey,
tibia,
all I'm going to say.
And fibula.
Hey, Ted,
exactly.
Let me ask you a question. Let me ask you a question, Ted.
Mm-hmm.
When you saw it, did you close your eyes?
No, I went for his. I felt pain like he felt pain, but I know
right.
he felt a lot
right.
more. But I felt some of it too. I mean,
okay.
it was well. I didn't initially see it when it first happened. I was my
okay.
back was turning, and Ukel's he started and heard everything initially, but then when they played
yeah.
it again, my godson, he said you can even hear it. So then when he played the replay, that's when I saw it and heard it.
Mm-mm.
I'm like, wow.
You wanted to see it? You wanted to see it?
I mean, it's you know, I don't watch Gladiator movies and all that, and you know, and all that stuff.
But
I'm a veteran.
Don't be real. This is real. You know, this man really
broke.
Well,
that's life, though. I didn't have broke bones. See, I tore my ACL up, you know, and my knee flipped all the way. My feet flipped all the way to my forehead, you know. So, you know,
hey,
I mean, he's gonna heal.
Hurts.
Out, Ted. First of all,
out.
Okay.
Hey, look. All I'm going to say is
doing
this.
That. Doing that back and forth. He got in front of him and then. Yeah, I'm listening.
All I'm going to say is this. My brother, my sister, my lady, and my son all took it like a soldier. Now, we all was like, I can't believe that happened. Oh, I can't believe I saw that. But we stood there
right.
and watched him like a soldier,
like
you know
did.
What I mean? And,
okay. And
like I said, the guy didn't even notice that he had broken his leg until he
right.
went to plant and put that
right.
pressure
right.
on it. And, oh, my goodness, the way that leg folded up, I was just like, oh.
Exactly. Well, let me say this. Do you guys remember Silly Putty? It was kind of beige like.
Yes.
It's not the Clay-Doh, but it's Silly Putty. So like Kale said, when he planted it, his foot, you know, looked like you smashed down some Silly Putty.
Right.
It just because everything just compact and everything, and so it was just. I felt sorry for, but I read. Real quick,
ahead,
I read something that said that he's going to be back. He's going to be back training probably 6 to 12 months. I'm like, I don't know
man.
About that one.
I ain't
rushing to get in.
Yeah, because he already had the surgery.
Oh.
But I ain't rushing to get in because it's like this: if you broke your stuff kicking somebody, not nobody kicking you, but you kicking them. What if somebody? You know they're going to go after you because there ain't no mercy in this. So they're going to be kicking.
Wow.
I would be kicking at your leg. That's my target. I'm tearing that up. I'm sorry.
Yeah.
But you want to come in here, I'm eating that leg up once you come back up in
right.
here. So you better stay out for a minute. And let's say you put a plate in there. But I thought Dude might have had a plate in his leg. I don't know.
You know? And you remember Teddy
was human.
when they first showed him coming out of the locker room, I was like, this mama don't look human. You know, I mean, he was built different, you know, and they showed his feet with no shoes on. Like I said, you know, I always notice weird things. And I noticed he ain't have any shoes on, and that bone for the big toe was like protruding out more than I've ever seen anybody bone protrude. And I was like, dude ain't built right, man. But you know what? Prayer out to the young man and glad to know that he's had his surgery. But dude, I wouldn't be thinking about coming back out there, man. I'd be
right.
done with that, man. I'm done
with
that.
Yeah, yeah.
And one thing
I
will say, yeah, I mean, you know, Pinocchio thought he could lie without his nose growing. we saw what happened with that. Lou, you made me forget my train of thought. But what I will say, Ted, you can attest to this. Lou, you watched it. You can attest to this. Every single match that they that was on brought excitement. It brought excitement. And they left you wanting for nothing. They left you wanting for nothing, guessing what is what. Nah. They left you hungry for more UFC, for more MMA action. You know what I mean? That's the only thing that they left you hungry for, because every single fight had a jaw-dropping moment.
Yeah,
had
don't be taking your eyes
off. Oh, my
God. Right?
Yeah, you know, every fight gave you that moment where of excitement, and it fulfilled your anticipation. You know, it's what competition between two individuals is supposed to be. Now, let me say this. And you all know how I feel when it comes to women fighters.
Yes.
Them daggone women was just as entertaining as the men, man. They were just as entertaining as the men. And I still had my reservations about,
Yeah.
You say what, Tree?
I was going to say that. Do you still want to watch? Did it change your mind? Would you now watch them if they was all like that? Because I know you said you haven't watched the women.
Yeah, and you know, I don't want to see anything like dude that broke his leg happen to one of the women. That would mess me up serious. You know what
right.
I mean? To see one of the women go through that. But straight up fight, heck yeah, man. That broad they called Thug Rose, she was a beast.
Mm-hmm.
You hear me? And they said that this is her second time being a champion. So she's been there and done all of that, and I'll say she's damn good at it. She's damn good at it, because I mean the young lady that she was fighting, before they fight, you know, the eye test, the eye matchup that we all do with fighters, I said she gonna get knocked out. The little Asian girl gonna win that one, man.
Shut on.
Man, she took it to that Asian chick, man. She took it to her. I mean, and you know, at the end, when they're raising your arm to say who win and who lost the fight, the Asian chick was standing there, and she had a perfect printout of Thug Rose's foot on her chin, where she caught her and knocked her out. And I was like, you know, I need help, y'all. Pray for your brother. Because I be noticing the weirdest thing. And I'm looking at it. I said, dang, she done kicked a print into her teeth, you know. But it was so entertaining, you know, watching these women, you know, for the sport. And you know what? I'm really going to say this, and forgive me, Therese, but it was easier to watch them because the women had short hair and no breasts.
Yeah. I was going to say they look like men.
Exactly. They look like men. So it was kind of easier to watch them and not get all, you know, excited about it, you know, get all excited about it because they look like men. They look like men. Come on, go ahead, bro.
Yeah, well, I totally agree with you. But, you know, Therese asked, how could you, you know, watch that and stuff? Well, you know, and then also, you know, I reflect on how can we get excited like that, you know, and I reflect back on the gladiator days, you know, and Rome and stuff, and our nature is we have that carnal sin, you know, and we do, like to, most of us, the majority, like to see gory things. You know, we might not like to have it happen to us. Go ahead.
Okay, so let me explain what I was saying. Like, I don't want to see it. Like, if I'm watching TV, like, I saw it the first time. Like, I saw it, but I don't want to see it again. You know what I mean? Like, I can't, like, I don't want to keep watching that. Like, if I'm from watching the TV and it happens and I'm looking at it, I'm looking at it. But if I'm, if I'm standing somewhere, somebody said, oh, he broke his leg. Oh, Lord, you know, like that. I'm not
going to
be the first one to run to the thing and say, let me see it.
But I'm telling you, the way that this happened, you really had, it was so off guard and so unexpected, right. You had to watch it, you know? Because remember, Ted, they took a little time before they actually put it back on or showed it again. You know, and we were all eyes glued to the TV.
Well, like I said, I didn't initially see it when it first happened. You know, I didn't initially see it, so therefore I had to see the replay. But like you say, he waited for a minute, and he waited for a minute. Then he said, you know, we're only going to show it just once and real quick and stuff because it's very graphic. And then they showed it, so that's what I first saw. But what I was touching to, I understand what you're saying totally, Therese. But what I was saying is that we have that excitement for that. Some people just have that excitement for that gory stuff, you know. Some people have that. Some people just can't stand to see it even at all. Some people, like you say, will watch it once and not care to see it at all. Again, you know, and I didn't care to continue to see it, and they didn't only show it but one more time, and so I only saw it once.
Right.
So you know, so whoever saw it the first time, they got a chance to see the initial replay, you know, also. Mm-hmm. So, but yeah, I totally understand. But like I say, we do as humans have that sin nature, you know, regardless if regardless of what religion you are. We still have that shit nature. It's just that we work on that, you know. We daily work on that, you know. So, and that's part of the of excitement to us, you know. So,
well, I'm gonna tell you like this: I saw it the first time, the third time, and look.
Let me touch on this.
I went to work and
I'm sorry.
Go ahead.
I wanted to ask you a question because I was talking to one of my friends. So he was mentioning about how girls do the fighting, you know, on the streets and stuff like that, especially like the situation with the girl who got killed. You know, they were beefing about something.
Yeah.
You know.
Right.
So, okay, now would you – okay, now you figuring when they're doing that MMA stuff, the UFC, they're disciplined, they're trained, you know, and it comes with a certain discipline and respect for the art of fighting. So therefore, you're getting that aggression, that energy, and it's constructive, what have you. Although you beat the brains out of somebody, but it's constructive and stuff. And then you win or lose, you're gonna give respect to your opponent. You know, instead of, you know, nobody's gonna die in that ring. It wouldn't. Nobody's gonna have a weapon, no knife and stuff. So you know, so he was asked, you know, saying, would you prefer women to? Would you matter that? Like you say, Kale, you don't usually like seeing women in the ring like that, you know, but for that, if that's, you know, they choose to do that, and if they got aggression like that, why not? So,
right.
I mean,
it's gonna have to save many women.
You know, let me say this with that, you know, there are a lot of ways that I'm still old school. I'm sorry. And there are a lot of ways where I look at it as, okay, this is for men, this is for women. And I know a lot of the Me Too young women and men, you know, will call me old fashioned, you know, but there are just certain ways I don't like seeing females portrayed. I don't like, and it worked two ways,
of course,
because I keep seeing this commercial for this show called Pose, you know, where these homosexual men are models. And I say I don't want to see that mess either. You know, I don't want to see that either. And, you know, I don't mean to offend anyone, but this is my choice for my eyes. You know what I'm saying? Now, I will say from watching the women this weekend, it gave me a different perspective, you know. Mm-hmm. I found myself not just interested, but liking what I saw, you know. It was cool. It was cool, you know what I mean? And I could appreciate the women, I'll dare to say, more than I have in the past, if that makes any sense. You know,
yeah.
You know, I appreciated what they were doing. I appreciated how they carried themselves, how they handled themselves in that arena, you know, because once they stepped in there, that I'm a girl, that female jazz went out the window, and
yeah,
they were fighting. They were fighting, and each one of them equally wanted to win. So,
right,
you know, like I say, you know, I developed a new respect for them. You know, I developed a new respect for them, and I can actually see them as women of fighters, female fighters, you know, because they put everything into it that the men did, you know.
Right.
And they came with it every second as the men did, you know what I mean? What's up, big boy?
Hey, how y'all doing?
Yeah. We talking about that UFC situation. Did you check that out this weekend?
I ain't get to watch it, but I definitely have an opinion about the women fighters.
Go ahead.
I got an opinion about the whole movement. I think, you know, out of necessity, women stepped into a certain role back in the day. That was out of necessity. Now we've gotten to the point where you have women that can open their mouth and say, I can do anything that a man could do. Well, if that was true, there would be no need for a WNBA. Because you could get out there and you could play with the men. You could get out there and play with the men. And, you know, I don't care about being seen as, you know, chauvinistic or old school or whatever stigma you want to put on top of it, the truth is the truth.
Mm.
And the truth of the matter is you cannot do everything that a man can do. You can do what he does on your level, but you're still not doing what he does. And I'm talking about physically. Let me go ahead and qualify what I'm saying. I'm talking about physically. I'm not talking about mentally. We all know that women are intelligent. We all know that women really, you know, a good woman make this thing run. You know what I'm saying? But it's not like she's making it run without a good man.
Some of them women will whip some men. I tell you.
I ain't finna just go up
and slap old girl unless I got my 38 with me. So if she sweep back, I'ma shoot in her pinky toe. I ain't finna go wrestle with her or nothing. I'm shooting at her pinky toe, and that's it.
I'm just kidding.
Yeah.
My thing is this. If you train to do what she does, and she whoop you, then you're just not a good fighter.
Oh yeah, he's sorry. No, I totally agree. I totally agree and understand what you're saying. You know, as far as you know, you have levels. A man is a man, and as far as you know, he's a fighter, and if they're training at the same level, a woman cannot beat him. You know, he shouldn't. She shouldn't be able to. She shouldn't be able to. Should I say? You know, right. And what have you? So, but yeah, I definitely understand.
Man,
you know, but, yeah.
Look at here.
Stop looking at roles as a negative thing. You were made to do
right.
a specific thing. We were made to do a specific thing. And if you really look at it, you benefit from playing your role and us playing ours. How many women don't
but
want
they,
a good man?
But now they
I'm
have,
about,
they
you
always
have,
brothers? They have had women warriors. They have had women
yeah.
warriors from the time of from history, you know? You have had
you
women
know,
warriors, so they had to fight. You know, you had women that
had
to defend their country
fight.
Also.
But they cooked while they were fighting. They cleaned while they were fighting.
That's true, but also a man also can clean and cook too. So I understand what you're saying, but still, don't put it in a pinhole. Don't you know what I'm saying? Don't put it in a pinhole. You know, because
anybody can do what they have. You're not listening to me. I opened up saying women do what they do out of necessity. And that's the same thing for the men that cook and clean. They do it out of necessity. But you can't come to me and say to me, I want you to provide for me. I want you to treat me like the queen that I am. And you're not doing your
yeah.
part. That's what I'm talking about, looking at roles in a negative manner and seeing it as a put down as opposed to a compliment.
Yeah.
So, that,
can
that's
I,
can how I
say
I
something?
About it. Yeah, go ahead, Therese. Hey, look, you're the main one to say something on this one.
Well, I just feel like, because, I mean, I've been with my husband 30 years, and I just know, I don't want to say limit, but I know how far to go, and I know how far, when to fold them, like sit his own down. And be quiet,
yeah.
like, you know, in certain levels to everything.
Right.
And if you just respect who you with, if you with somebody, if you just respect that person, it's not really no roles. Because in our house, I don't
uh-huh.
cook. Right?
Uh-huh.
Mm-hmm.
I don't cook.
Mm-hmm.
But if I was with Tom, Dick, and Harry over there, he might want me to cook.
Which
and
one is
that's
which?
Not going to work for me. You know what I'm saying? So I'm with a man
uh-huh.
that loves to cook.
Mm.
So it works out for us. And he doesn't know how to put nothing together.
That's the same position. I know how to put stuff together, but that's the same
but
thing
I do.
In my house.
He does.
I cook. I
See?
Cook in my house.
Yeah.
But look,
mm-hmm.
the difference is there's a definite understanding between me and my wife. There's
right.
an understanding between us.
Absolutely.
And look, we both know what the other one can and cannot do, what we're good at and what we're not good at. My
mm-hmm.
thing is when I use the word role and talking about traditional roles, I don't care if I cook every day, breakfast, lunch, and dinner. I still have to be a provider. That
right.
is my role. When you look at it, all right, so you see a family out on the street, the father is with the family. You wonder, hold on, what is she doing out on the street with a man?
Mm-hmm.
What is he doing wrong? Not what are they doing wrong. What is
mm-hmm.
he doing wrong? And that's where the double standard comes in. You
yeah.
know? And that's one of them, mm-hmm. one of those times
yeah.
where, you know, you're either going to be, with it or you're not going to be with it. If you're not with it, just ain't for you.
Yeah.
Mm.
Yeah.
And that is a great. That's a great point. That is a great point. Who's that?
Somebody got their radio on. There you go.
Yeah. That's a great point. That's a great point. And one thing that we have to remember real quick, and I'm going to say this, and we're going to get off of this. We're going to take a break real quick.
Okay.
What works for your house, Trees, may not work for mine.
Yeah.
What
yeah.
worked for your house, Ted, may not work for Lou. Big boy
yeah.
Right.
May not work for Ted. You know what I mean? Everyone has to have to find their own individual niche, their own individual
yeah.
way of process in doing things. And
mm-hmm.
nowadays, I'm trying to tell you, you are lucky and blessed if you find a way that you and another can work together and accomplish the tasks of your household.
Right.
You know, real quick, Reese knows, and she'll tell you, I let him cook Thanksgiving because, number one, I love to make the Thanksgiving meal. I love it. I love being off of work, preparing the food the day before, the house smelling like, you know, I go walk out in my neighborhood and smell because I love the smell of Thanksgiving, you know, and I'm just crazy about it. And my wife knows that. So she says, hey, do your thing. The worst Thanksgiving mm-hmm. we've ever had, we went over her mom's house and the young stepdaughter was trying to impress her boyfriend. When I'ma say this, and I'm done with this story, you can imagine the rest. When I went to pick my stuffing up, or my dressing, whatever you call it, I got the cranberry sauce, I put it on top of it, and when I picked it up, it all crumbled and fell off of my spoon. It all crumbled and fell off my spoon. I looked at Reese, she looked at me, and I mumbled to her, I will never come over here again. We'll be right back, y'all.
I understand your mom on joke.
I could not die. Hey, listen, and I have not returned over there for another Thanksgiving. You will not mess up my Thanksgiving ever again. 563-999-3782. 563-999-3782. Daggone stuff and dressing that falls apart. Who does that? We'll be right back, man.
My friend, yeah, feel it's their appointed duty. They keep trying to tell me, yeah, all you want to do is use me. But my answer,
I love that song.
Yeah.
You are using me. Yeah, but I ain't going to be used on Thanksgiving no more. MLB. MLB baseball. Trees that now. I'm going to tell you, I saw a little bit of everything. Everything mm-hmm. in that San Francisco-Colorado matchup. I mean, your dudes throwing the baseball at each other.
Mm-hmm.
Like I said in the intro, benches clearing. These guys took no prisoners on each other, and I loved it. I loved it. I loved every second of it because it reminded me of old school baseball. You know
mm-hmm.
what I mean? Back when. Well, put it this way. I think sports was better back in the day when guys had to work during the off season. Now these guys don't have to work. They got enough money and everything is great and life is hunky-dory. The level of sports that we're getting leads us to UFC and celebrating somebody getting their leg broke. You know what I mean? Just because of the lack of intensity that goes along with it. But that series this weekend between the Giants and Colorado Rockies, it was an old school baseball game. I'm trying to tell you, that was an old school baseball game. And you saw two teams who had a natural hatred for one another,
mm-hmm.
a natural hatred for one another, you know.
And we got a game tonight.
Okay, who are you out playing?
Three-game series, the Giants and the Rockies. It's a three-game series.
Oh, my goodness. Oh, my goodness.
Right.
Well,
so
it's just as bad
tuned.
As it was.
You say
stay
what,
tuned.
Lou?
I mean, you know, you don't think there's any more rivalries? I mean, and whatnot. Well, I mean, there has to be because you heard about what happened with between the Yankees and Tampa a week and a half ago, right?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
You know, throwing objects and bottles, you know, on the field, whatnot. These were Yankee fans, like, you know, so obviously there's still rivalries and, you know, teams still hate each other. I think it's even worse now than it was back in the old days.
Wow.
Yeah,
well, I mean, you got to think about this. Baseball was gone for a year. You know, this pandemic,
yes.
It all kicked off in March. So these guys got a lot of pent-up animosity and dislike. And I don't want to say hatred because I don't believe they hate each other, but they have a strong dislike for one another.
Right.
Yeah, well, exactly. No, your sentiments, you hit it right on the head. That's what I was going to say. You know, since the pandemic, everybody been cooped in, you know, and they definitely want to get out and, you know, release some tension and stuff. So it's a lot of built-up anger and stuff. So it just ain't.
Yeah.
Why not put it on your rivalry, you know? So
Why not? And also, we're watching new rivalries being birthed. We're watching new team hatred going on for one another. And I, for one, love it. I love it.
Yeah.
Yes. Give me more.
Yeah.
Something I could be, you know, as a fan of baseball. It's been a year for me as well. It's been a year for me cooped up and not watching and, you know, wishing that they had a game on and all of that. So to be back into it as a fan, you're going to have to do more than just the regular to impress me. You're going to have to do more than just the norm, I'll say, to attract me and other fans. I'm sure feel the same way. I'm sure they feel the same way.
Hello?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, you know, I'm sorry, y'all. That threw me off. That thing threw me all the way off. What's up, 57?
What's happening? What's up, Dale?
What's happening with you, man?
Not much. What's the topic today?
Well, right now we're talking baseball.
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Talking about my Giants. We went out there and beat up Colorado last night. And we're going to do it again tonight. Yeah.
Y'all looked pretty good last night.
Ain't no pretty good. We look handsome good.
Oh, my goodness. Oh, my goodness.
You know how y'all like the strength at the end of the season.
Y'all tell me that.
You know how y'all like the strength at the end of the season.
You say 157?
I said, you know how y'all front runners. Y'all look good at the beginning of the season. All
oh, no, that's y'all. That's y'all the Yankees
the
like that. No, sir.
Oh, no. We stinking up
that's
the joint right now.
Every team that you like always come out the gate swinging. All the teams that you like. And then they get pressed down into some burgundy or some red. I mean, you know.
Well, oh,
Yankees, my goodness. We must go look. We must go win the World Series because we stinking right now.
Well, on your fantasy football team.
Nah, baseball.
Baseball.
Sorry,
on your fantasy baseball team.
Gotta
be what you're talking about.
Okay, look. The season doesn't start until after the All-Star break.
You know, 57, I was thinking about you this weekend, man. I just say, poor sports fan. Because him just can't get a team to do nothing. they want to talk. You know, I know several Pittsburgh Steelers fans, man. First thing they come up, we Pittsburgh. That ain't got nothing to do with the fact that y'all stunk up the joint last year. They ain't got nothing to do with the fact that y'all came, like Tree said, y'all came out the gate on fire. On fire, y'all. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And then you got in the water. Put that bar right over out.
We won 11 games.
Ooh.
Congratulations.
That's all I got to say. Right. More than 11.
Well, too bad the season more than 11. Too bad it's more than 11 games. Too bad it's a more than 11 games season. You
that's
know?
Okay. We
did y'all make the playoffs?
Yes, we did.
Oh, okay. Who did y'all play?
I can't even remember now.
Yeah,
and
you can't.
The only reason we remember that you was in there is because you're telling us.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
That's
okay.
Right.
Yeah, but you know what? No, 57, I'm not going to let you do that. We talking baseball right now. We are not going to let you come in here and monopolize the conversation. We talking America's pastime right now.
I can't believe you said that.
What's that?
I monopolize the conversation.
You because you would well you try. Let me put it that way. You sure enough try.
But all I know is this: when we get to the All-Star break in baseball, then y'all talk stuff to me about my Yankees.
Okay, I mean that's fair.
That's fair, you know.
We only won this game so far with the Yankees. Hey, I told you we're not looking good at all. We're in last place in our division.
Absolutely is.
It's early yet, though.
Yeah.
You say what, Lou?
It's early yet, though.
Yeah, man. It's still over 150-something. Yeah, it's still over 150-something games to play. So, yeah, you know.
Yeah, so I understand why people are griping about. Hold on. I'll wait.
Go ahead, Lou.
I mean, you know, it seems like, you know, say, like, you know, like 3 weeks in the season and you're, say, like 10 and 19 or something like that. And everybody's always thinking, oh, well, we're horrible. We're not going to do anything this year. People, you still have 130 games to go. The season is not in April, contrary to what people believe. You know, there's a saying, you can't win the pennant in April, but you can lose it. No, that's not necessarily true. You don't have to lose in April because there's still plenty of time to catch up. I mean, look, say like it's not like it's July and you're like 21 games out or something. Well, it's still doable, but it's a little bit less realistic. I mean, there's plenty of time. I'd rather go into a slump now than go into a slump in the season and you're far behind the pack. I mean, you're worried about, you know, how your season's going now? Come on.
Yeah.
Nobody even pays attention to the standings yet. Well, maybe I do, but still. Nobody really pays attention to the standings right now. Nobody really gets in that until you say, so we're like 50 games in the season. Then they start thinking about hitting the panic button, which I still think is a little bit too early.
Yeah. We are living proof because the Nets, they didn't start out great, you know. What was that, 2017? They didn't start out great. They didn't start out, bomb burning. Mid-season, they hit stride and kept that stride all the way to the World Series. So, you know, you can't, like Lou say, it's too early in the season to even be thinking about, you know, what your team is or isn't.
Yeah.
We gotta let baseball form, man. We gotta let it form, and you know, and see what you got from me.
Story.
Right. Now, June, man, I'm trying to tell you, you know, you get around to June, and your team's having the same problems that they've always been having, then this is who you are, and this is what your season is, you know? So, yeah, we'll give it time. When we come back, we will be heating it up with the NBA as soon as we come back. 563-999-3782 is the number. 563-999-3782. Call somebody. Let them know they're doing it again.
Mm-hmm. I've got a song, I ain't got no melody. I'm gonna sing it to my friends. I've got a song, I ain't got no melody. I'm gonna sing it to my friends. We'll go round and circle. Will it fly high like a bird? Go round and circle. Will it fly high like a bird up in the sky?
All right. Welcome back. Kills Corner with Miss Tree. Hey, Tree.
Hey, man. I just got some. Go ahead.
Use your floor.
I wanted to tell you guys about a few things that's going on in the NBA. The Wizards lost it. You know, they lost last night, so that ended their streak. That doesn't mean they can't start a new one. So that's that. Zion Williams scored 2,000 points before his 80th game. Nobody has done that since Michael Jordan, the GOAT.
The
Knicks. He is the GOAT. The Knicks win. They was on a nine win streak. Theirs came to an end last night. Also, losing to Phoenix last night. Yeah, they lost to Phoenix last night. Yeah. So, some other kind of news. Will Bradley Beal tie Gilbert Arenas for the most 40 game points? He did that last night.
That's
in that game.
Sure.
Yeah.
That's what
he tied Gilbert Arenas. So James Harden had a setback. He probably won't make it back. And if he do, it'll be probably around playoff time because they have him out indefinitely. John Wall is going to miss the rest of the season. John Wall is going to miss the rest of the season due to his injury.
Yeah.
So how do you guys feel about that? And we got to talk about these G League refs because they cost the Knicks and the Wizards the game last night. You guys know
right.
And
I mean,
we want to talk about the G League because that's where they come.
I mean, it was like for not to cut you off, Tree, but you done started something. You done started something. Because it was like, you know, after the Knicks game and the Wizard game, and then I found out both teams had G League referees,
yep.
It was like,
okay,
there's something going on here. You know, and you know, nothing for nothing, Skip Bayless, the Spurs is his team. Everybody knows that. Everybody knows that. He came out and thanked the referees. He thanked them because he said, and I quote him, "I thought that my team was going to lose, but when they called the first technical on Russell Westbrook, and then they came back and followed it up with a tech against Bradley Beal.
Bradley Beal.
And then when you saw the free throw disparity, what's their name? What's his name? The superstar that played with the Spurs, DeRozan. DeRozan. He was 13 of 16 as far as free throw shooting went. Bradley Beal was 5 of 5.
Mm-hmm.
And I said, Bradley Beal, 5 of 5, he's not really playing a perimeter game. He's putting the ball on the floor. He's driving to the basket. What is happening?
Mm-hmm. Right.
Why isn't any fouls being called in his favor?
Mm-hmm.
What are these referees doing, man? I mean, seriously. Right. Seriously. And then the thing, Westbrook's technical. Westbrook wasn't even facing the officials. He didn't say he was demonstrative. And he was demonstrative with his actions and his comment, but they're grown men, dog. They're grown men. Why is it a problem for them to express themselves? Now I can see if he was using the N word excessively,
or right, my foul language,
and you know what I mean, and you had a problem with that. Okay, I can see you doing that, but he wasn't using the N-word. He wasn't talking to you. He wasn't facing any of the opposing team's players. Why in the hell are you calling a tech?
Right.
You know, and I'm so sick of these sporting events where referees, nobody came to see you, man. Nobody. If it was a situation where you guys were out on the floor by yourselves, guess what? Nobody would come and see that. You have no TV, no cameras, nothing. No one is entertained by you guys. We're entertained by the players on the court.
Right.
We're impressed by what the players on the court do, not you as an official. We don't want to see. It's safe to say we could go all night without seeing you. Now, I know that you have a job to do.
Is that?
Do your job and leave the game a hell alone, man. Leave the game alone.
Well, they because let me call it right.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. Exactly. How is it a foul on one end and no call on the other? How do you come across that? How is it? Go ahead.
It's a conspiracy. There's favoritism involved. Go figure. You know,
they probably pay
them off. You know, there's some behind it. You know, how do you not call one or the other? I mean, the same thing would happen with Jordan when the Knicks played in the playoffs. You knew that was going on with Jordan. You knew there was something going on between Jordan and the Epstein officials and whatnot. Come on, that wasn't legit at all. They should have won that game.
Right.
Yeah.
Sorry, I have to give it to Michael Jordan. I mean, he's the king. I have to give it to him. No, you don't.
Yeah, you know. You have to call a fair game, man. Because at the end of the day, every sports fan, and I don't care if you're a Wizards fan or a Spurs fan, you just want to see a fairly called game.
Right.
And now, the fact that your team won, I can see that, you know, motivating you and making you happy. Because your team won, and everybody wants to see their team win, but we want a fair game. We want a fair game, and when I found out that these referees are not even official pro referees. These are G League guys. What the hell? You couldn't do you don't have enough referees on standby. You have to go to the G League. Really? Really?
Mm-hmm.
I can
let the girl my eyes closed.
And nothing for nothing. A couple of those referees look like they were starstruck last night. They didn't look like, you know, regular ref, a regular game. They looked like they were starstruck. Right. And some of those calls were called in a starstruck manner. They can say whatever they want to us to camouflage or go over that. But that was starstruck. I'm going to give him the call and not this one if I ever seen it. If I ever seen it. That's exactly what it was. That's exactly what it was. And NBA, shame on you, NBA. Shame on you, NBA. Because you guys should have things in order and in place in case this situation occurs. You guys are the ones that dropped the ball on this, having these amateur-ass referees out there and completely screwing the game up. You're going to call a technical foul at that juncture? Everybody was hyped. The coach, and now Popovich was all on the floor yelling, cursing, doing everything. Uh-huh. No tech on him, but you're going to call a tech on the person who's actually playing? Come on, man.
Yeah.
Come on, man. You know, they wanted the Wizards to lose that game last night, and that's all it is to it. And they used the excuse, the Wizards lost their head. And I mean, Bradley Beal put the ball on the floor and dribbled to split the defenders. Both of them collided in. Beal falls down to the floor. The ball goes over here, and it's no call. You damn right a player is going to get livid. You damn right a player is going to be upset out of his mind. Come on, big boy.
Yeah.
You with me, man?
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm here.
Yeah.
Did you watch the Wizards game last night?
I ain't able to watch nothing. But the thing about it is, what I do know is that these professional sports are getting ridiculous with their refs. And it's not just with basketball. It's like, you know, they trying to they swinging it towards where the money going. They swinging it to the money thing, in my opinion, because, you know, every call that's a call, you know, that they making, 50-50 to go one way or go the other. Why you gonna take it there in a game? But they I'm listening to y'all talk. The emotions are already up. You enter the game, you balling. And anybody that's ever been out there either on the floor or on the field know when them emotions get going, the game going to get real. And the refs know that too and call the game accordingly.
So did anybody see the Cavaliers game last night when Kevin Love, they gave him the ball and he just smacked the ball in and the other team got the ball and threw it up. He said he was sick of the refs. Like not calling stuff and, you know, missing calls and all that. He was just so frustrated that, you know, he had to apologize to the team and everything. But that it makes you that frustrated. Like, why am I even playing if y'all ain't going to give me a fair chance? Like, why are we doing this? Just put an L down and let us go home.
Yeah. I heard about Kevin Love's reaction to the referees last night, and all I can say is
it wasn't right,
I understand him. But I understand him. I understand his frustration. Mm-hmm. You know, it takes a lot of work to prepare yourself for the game. It takes a lot of energy to get yourself ready to play a game, and you're being no calls, you know. Listen to this, man. In Washington, at Verizon or Comcast, whatever the hell the name of that center is now, DeRozan was 13 of 16 free throws. Bradley Beal was 5 of 5. And we lost that game by 3 or 4 points?
Yeah.
The disparity in free throws tells the story right there. And not just Bradley Beal versus DeRozan. You know, the referees just swallowed their whistle when every time that we were on the Washington side of the court. They swallowed their whistles and let whatever happen. And, I mean, I really hope that during the playoffs, this is not what they're going to subject us to watching. I really hope that during the playoffs, things will be put together so that we don't have to watch these refs, because it was sickening. It was sickening. And and one time the referee looked at Bradley Beal as if to say, yeah, now say something. I dare you to say something. Dude, you ain't – who the hell are you? Who the hell are you, man?
Right.
You know? And Beal is just asking the ref, make a call, man. Make the proper calls. That's all we want from you. That's all we are asking of you. Make the proper calls, man. Make the proper calls. And so many times last night, so many times, the Wizards were on the run and trying to turn things around and really get it going, but they were stymied. They were stymied by the refs. They were stymied by the refs. I mean, come on. Look at this. Look at this, okay? The Wizards big man in the first quarter, every big man that played center for the Washington Wizards had 2 fouls. And I'm like, how the hell all of them got 2 fouls already? And then you told me, you said, these are G League refs, Kale. And I said, what?
Yep.
What? So we watch our team get robbed with no gun and no mask last night. We watched this happen. We watched this happen. And I, for one, hope that the NBA pulls this thing together to where, though, we don't have to utilize these inadequate referees, man.
Mm-hmm. Man, that's something you got to beg somebody to do their job, man. That's something you got to beg. They're taking the sport out of the game.
Yeah.
These players get out here, they prepare, they work out, and they make themselves so they can be as competitive as possible. And then you got a ref that just takes all that out of the equation. They take all that
take
out.
It all out.
Not
takes it all out.
Making bad calls. It's a sport. It's supposed to be competitive. It's supposed to be competitive. If you can't handle that, then you don't need to be a ref.
Yeah. And I watched last night. Once Trees let me know that these are G League referees, I really watched it. I really truly started watching, and I saw 3 fouls, surely fouls, that Bradley Beal took, and nothing was called. Nothing was called. But then you went on the other end, DeRozan, he get a little hand touch, almost like a high five, and they're blowing the whistle. they're blowing the whistle, and I'm like, come on, man. Come on, man. Seriously. And yes, I will say Bradley Beal, along with Russell Westbrook, allowed the referees to get in their head. But I really can't blame them for that. I really can't blame them for that because that was the most unprofessional last 2 minutes of overtime I've ever seen. That was the most unprofessional overtime 2 minutes that I've ever seen. Let's bring my man Mark in. What's up, Mark?
Hey, Mark. What's going on, Pete? How y'all feel?
Hey. Ain't nothing, man. Ain't nothing. You missed that MMA talk. Did you watch it this weekend?
You know I watched.
Man, goodness gracious. Okay. I want the names. I don't know the names of the guy who broke his leg, and I don't know the name of the guy who broke his leg on.
Well,
Chris Wiseman is the guy who broke his leg.
Okay.
And who else you looking for?
The guy he was fighting.
What's the guy's name? Wait. Uriah Hall.
Right. Okay.
But you know that training, man, that they train. You know they kick like bamboo trees and like they constantly kick like stuff, and it weakens their, you know, like that bone that broke. He probably did it, you know, in practice, man. Constantly doing that shit over and over and over again. It's supposed to build, you know, the constant breakdown and build up a muscle. It's just like, you know, with your knuckles, you keep hitting. Come over and over and over again, break down and build back up. It gets stronger. But that's what it's supposed to do. But sometimes that don't work, huh? Obviously. Yeah,
we saw that.
It's supposed to strengthen. It's supposed to strengthen it after it weakens it. You know.
Hey.
Now, I mean, not. Not even 7 seconds into the fight.
Yeah,
did y'all see Usman beat up Masvidal in the second round? Well, I mean, beat him down to the ground.
Yeah, drop.
Hey, look, I'm going to say this about that fight. Masvidal jumped up like, you know, why y'all do it? Man, dude, you got knocked. The F out, dude.
Yeah.
You got knocked. You were knocked out, Slam. But guess who gave him some advice, though, Kale?
Guess who gave him advice, told him, this is what you do. You go in there, and you hit him like this. Boom, boom. And he was showing
Conor
him, you know,
McGregor.
Like that. No. Tyson Fury.
Oh, okay. Well, have y'all heard what Conor McGregor said to Guzman?
Yeah, he tried to imply
and
that.
I hope.
But did you hear how he replied back to him?
Nah.
He said, hey, little man, this Usman talking to Conor McGregor. He said, hey, I already took your pride. Don't make me take your whiskey. Go on about your business. I said, okay. Okay.
Yeah, because Conor McGregor was trying to say that Guzman has tried to steal his image, and a lot of what Guzman say, he's already said or has been saying for a while now. So Guzman was just like, dude, you know, you don't want none of this.
Guzman.
Right. I'm so sorry. Usman was like, Slim, I'm trying to tell you, you don't want this, man. You don't want this smoke at all. And I mean, for real, Conor McGregor, if I'm not mistaken, he's lost his last two attempts, right?
Yeah. I mean, it was real bad. I mean, and it was ugly.
Yeah, yeah, so, yeah. It's safe to say he got his ass whooped.
But Kev, this is what I was trying to say about UFC, man. UFC it can't be controlled, man. It's not like boxing where you can make it look good, look sweet, and somebody could take a fall. You know, man. This ain't that kind of part. You know, the man that you thought was gonna win might go in there and break his leg. Break his leg off your ass. You know what I'm saying? So it's a rough sport, man. That's why I work with UFC fighters, but I work with them with the hand game, man, because I prefer boxing, bro. Because when you go kick me, I know trigger tai chi. You know, I'm not
okay.
Yes.
Not the trigger tai. I'm sitting here trying to think. What style is that? Everybody was like trigger tie. Boy, you a trip, boy.
Yeah.
He said he don't trigger tie cheat. Oh, man.
Can I?
What?
Okay, so on the final thing that I had to say today in my news was, you know, Rob Gronkowski set a World Guinness Book record at Arizona State. He caught a football thrown from a helicopter 600 feet in the air from a helicopter this weekend.
Can I say something?
Sure.
Gronkowski, sit your ass down, man. Seriously. Unless you catching a football during the game, you know, dude.
Right.
I mean, we have, and I call them out when I see them, but we're going to have to make us a list for he's so hungry for media attention as dudes. You know what I mean? Because Gronkowski is one of those guys. I'm surprised he hasn't tried to host an episode of Jeopardy. Somebody flew up in a helicopter and dropped a football 600 feet, and you caught it. Oh, wow. Oh, wow. And then you really didn't catch it with your hands, bro. You caught that ball with your body. Catch it with your hands, and you want to impress me. You know what I mean? Come on, dude. You know,
tell us how you
get the hell off my – look, get the hell off my timeline, man. We go 563-999-37. See, Trees got me needing another break. 563-999-3782. Gronkowski in a damn Breezy Cup, this for you, baby. Hey, football 600 feet in the man, boy. Hey, man, you know, you ever had one? Well, I'm sure you have. 30 years y'all been together. But one of them weekends is just make you say, man, I love that girl, man. You know what I'm talking about? Look, that song was right on time. I'm talking about Gronkowski catching a ball. I ain't even going back there.
What you said about Donald Wall missing the rest of the year?
Yeah, yeah.
How you feel about that? You feel like y'all got older?
I feel like the Wizards kind of looking like Nostradamus or somebody. They got a crystal ball or something. You know what I mean? Because everybody was like, well, I thought Bill was the one that they was going to trade. Come to find out, Bill is the one that's a little more durable. And John Wall, you know, to be hurt again already, it doesn't look too good for the young man. Too good for him. And
Derrick Rose pays.
Yeah, yeah. But, hey, Derrick Rose is having a rebirth with the Knicks, though.
Derrick
Rose is having a
rebirth. Maybe that'll happen.
Yeah. Maybe, you know. Maybe
the third thing.
Maybe he'll join up with LeBron James when he turned his walker up and down the court, because, you know, they ain't going to let. They ain't going to let that Bama retire. You know what I mean? He going to be around for a minute. You know.
Patrick was still around. Did you see him on the bench last night?
Yeah, I seen him.
I want him to go home now. Like, it's enough. Go home.
It's enough, man. You've done enough. Your job is done, man. You know what I'm saying? But, hey, if they let him stick around, dude. You know? He ain't doing nothing wrong. But the Wizards, I had to really, really, you know, temper my expectations, because I didn't even really realize that this team is sitting at 10th. And I mean, they're like, a strong 10. They're not just like half a game ahead. It's like the closest team to them has 18 wins. So, and I still feel the same, y'all. I still feel the same. I want Scott Brooks gone when it's all said and done. I want Scott Brooks out of here when it's all said and done. But I can appreciate the fight, the defense, finally, that I'm seeing from this team. You know, where we all thought they couldn't play this style of ball, they're proving to me, I'm going to say, they're proving to me, dude, we can play with the best of them, you know, and Ted was the first one to say this, and it caused me to overlook the team again. And that was play better in the West, because they're built like a West team. They're not built like a team in the East. They're built like a team in the West. So that's why they can give Utah a run for their money. They can give Golden State a run for their money. Hell, the Clippers. They can give all of those guys a run for their money. So, you know, I don't know. Maybe I just spoke too soon. I'll put it that way. Maybe I spoke too soon and I didn't give this thing time enough to come together. You know, as most fans, you know, especially when your team look like some garbage, you know, you're like, you know, what's going on? Why this team look this way as they play, and my team looks like this as they play? Mm. You know? So, you know, if nothing else, it look like we're going to have us some summer basketball from this Wizards team. It looks like we're going to see them in the playoffs. And again, like I said, I'm not looking for them to win. And, you know, I was talking to one of the guys I work with today, and I was saying, you know, I'll appreciate the Wizards winning the first round, but getting knocked out in the second round, because a second round knockout tells you that's the coach. That's the coach. Your team has enough to accomplish the job at the task at hand. They're not coached well. They're not coached right. So, yeah, I'm sorry, but that's what I want. If they don't win the championship, that Larry O'Brien Trophy, then I want them to be knocked out of the second round, because that's enough to make Ted Leonsis really look at what he's doing here with this Wizards team, you know.
Yeah,
that's enough to stick you in the craw and have you say, you know, changes need to be made, and not player personnel, coaching staff, and hire Sam Cassell, man. Hire Sam Cassell. Somebody, I want a coach who will show up at practice with shorts and a t-shirt and show them what he wants. Show them how he want it done. You know? Because it's apparent that words can't get across. Words aren't enough. So show them. You know? That's just my two cents.
No, that's fact. Because, I mean, people lead by example. So if I'm telling you something but doing something totally different, they're looking at me out like, which one is it? Because you're confusing. But if you stick to your guns and do the same exact thing over there that you do over here, it's no confusion. It's no confusion nowhere.
Speaking of confusion, it's killing me, and this is me. I don't know if anybody else feels this way.
Okay.
When did Ish Smith get the green light to shoot whenever he wants to?
Well, Carol, I told you he gotta get it. He gotta get the green light. Who else gonna get it? Who else gonna take those shots when Bradley Beal and Westbrook not out there? Who gonna take them?
Martin Boutin.
Bertans can get it. I mean, he's supposed to be the big man. He's supposed to be down low. Like, you never always
Scott Brooks is trying to use him in a dual role, power forward and center. You know. You know, so while he can play center, he can play that position. I don't want him down there. He's your best damn perimeter shooter. Why would you have him in the paint? Why would you have him around the basket when you have a Crawford Gafford and a Lynn and, yeah, Lopez, you know, and Gill? You have these guys that you can play in the post. You don't need Bertans in that post. You need him out on that perimeter, man, because he bangs them threes when every opportunity given. Every opportunity given, you know. So, and it's just little things like that why I say, you know, Scott Brooks need to go. Scott Brooks need to go. And whoever the hell is selling Ish Smith, it's okay for him. This man, he pulled up a three, missed the rim completely. Then he moves in maybe like 3 feet, so pulls up another deuce, missed the rim completely, you know. So much, and he kept doing that, repeating it. And I'm like, okay, somebody's going to have to tell him to stop shooting. Somebody's going to have to remind him that he's a facilitator. He's just there to facilitate. That's it. Nobody said anything. And how do I know this? Because he stayed on the floor and he kept shooting. He kept shooting, and I mean, he would have two guys on him. You're the smallest Wizard player on the court. You got two guys on you. That means somewhere, you have a teammate that's open. You have a teammate that you can pass the ball to.
Mm-hmm.
And it just drives me crazy.
He tried to shoot it anyway, just, huh, bro? He tried to shoot it anyway,
what?
Huh?
Yeah.
He had said he'd try to shoot it anyway. Mm-hmm.
And he does. He truly does. Yeah. He tries to throw that ball up anywhere. And it's like, come on, man. You're wasting offensive opportunities, man. And contrary to popular belief, when we get to a certain part of the game, those opportunities don't come often. You know what I mean? You have to work for them, man. It's not a matter of, oh, I want the ball, and boom, the ball comes to you. No, man. No. The other team is fighting for that offensive rebound. The other team is fighting to secure that ball. And you're out here just throwing lolly-dolly anybody-type shots up, and like it's cool. And one of them, oh, my goodness, girl, if I could have jumped TV and pulled my belt off and whipped his ass on that court, I would have. One of his shots, he dribble around, trying to lose the defender. You got Bertrand sitting here wide open. You got Archie Moore sitting there wide open. Bradley Beal over in the corner. And you really gonna call your number now? Seriously?
Right.
Seriously? And,
right.
and I'm like, okay, Scott Brooks has to bench him. He has to right now. He got to.
Mm-hmm.
If he doesn't bench him right now, then he's giving him the green light to do this. And it's nothing.
Mm-hmm.
It's nothing we can say. Nothing we can say about it. His coach has given him the green light. The staff has given him the green light. And that's what I, you know, that's what I settled down with. That's what I settled down to, the whole thing. They've given him the green light. They have told this man, it's okay. You shoot from anywhere, anytime you want to. And I'm like,
right.
Wow. You have an offensive weapon like Bradley Beal. And you're giving the shortest man on your team the green light. You have an offensive weapon like Martin Bertrand. And you're giving the shortest man on your team the green light? Really? What the hell kind of coaching is that? What kind of coaching is that?
Yeah,
and I could see if Ish Smith was wide open every time he went down. I could see that. If they were like, oh, that's just Ish Smith, he ain't going to make it no way. So we really ain't got to waste a whole lot of time with defense on him. But they're checking you. They're checking him. They're making sure that he gets the ball out of his hand. And instead of throwing it to a teammate, he's shooting wild and ridiculous shots one after the other, each and every time down the court. Dude, come on, man. Come on, man. And this is not Ish Smith's first go-around with the Wizards. It's not. So the last time you were here, strictly dished the ball, assist. Facilitate.
Mm-hmm.
That was your role. That was your role. And he was good at that. So good to the point where I was like, yeah, you know, let him do that. That's what we're trying to see him do. But now it's like, dude, you're doing too much. You're doing too much, man. You're killing the chemistry of the offensive weapons that are on this team. And I know these guys got it. I know Russell Westbrook. is saying something. I know Russell Westbrook is like, come on, bro. You know, what you doing, man?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, real quick.
I don't know.
Y'all
that's enough on the web.
Y'all had no, but y'all don't have no more games to lose if you want to stay in the playoffs. You can't lose no games. Because you already lost one last night, and we won one. So that means we're only a game behind y'all, half a game behind y'all. So y'all don't have no room to be playing around. Y'all better get it in motion because the roster's on y'all tail, too. They're a game behind, too.
Yeah, yeah. But, I mean, the thing about it, I'm not worried. This Wizards team, if they show me anything, they show me that they have grit. They have stamina and their attention is into what they're doing. So, you know, I'm not really worried about them holding their position or maintaining their position. I'm not worried about nobody catching up with them.
You're right.
I can see who this team is and what they are. I need this coaching staff to understand what is it that they actually have. You know, it's almost as if it's almost as if they are just lost. You know,
right.
They have no. It's like they have no bearing. It's like they out in at sea, man. You know, and they have no bearings of where they are and, you know, what they need to do to right the ship. You know, and I'm going to say a way to start it is. Stop Ish Smith from shooting all these damn wild shots, man. Stop. The light is red, man. It ain't green. It ain't yellow. It's red. Stop it. You're killing. It's almost like with Washington, the Washington football team. When Reg Grossman was the quarterback and you saw from other players their unapproval, it's almost the same way. When Ish Smith comes out there and he has that green light to just keep shooting and shooting and shooting and shooting, it's like the other players are looking at the situation like, come on, dude. And they just lose morale. And it's like the energy towards winning is out the window, I'll say. You know?
Right.
You know, whatever the coach has taught or put in their ear that he wants done, that whole strategy is gone. The whole strategy is null and void because one player comes out and decides that he's going to take control. Well, dude, that's not the type of offense y'all got, man. That's not what y'all do. The Wizards play good ball when they share, when at least three teammates, touch the ball when they're on the offensive end. You know, when two guys touch the ball, they're a good team, and they're hard as hell to defend. When they play that style of ball, when they play that unselfish brand of basketball, you know. But the moment that they become selfish and start to think me type basketball, it's over. It's over. It's you know, there's nothing you can say. There's nothing you can say because they're not their strongest is when they're sharing. When they're not sharing, they're the weakest team in the league. They are the weakest team in the league. So, Therese, I'll say this. If they get caught, someone catches up to them, then it was because it was not meant to be. And like I said, that coach is not the coach for this team, and it's time for him to go. It's time for him to go. Just plain and simple as that. Just plain and simple as that. So what's the deal with Chicago?
We right behind y'all. That's what I'm saying. We trying to get in too, but Zach LaVine is hurt right now, and everybody else trying to pick up the pieces. And you know, carry us over the finish line. But it don't seem like it. I mean, you know, we fighting. We won last night against the Heat. So it ain't like we not fighting. We fighting, but you know, we just might come up short because we keep missing pieces. Pieces keep going out.
Right. Well, I mean, it ain't over till it's over. They got like what, 8 and 10 games left.
Yeah, something like that.
So, you know, they got time to.
Fight to the end.
Yeah.
And to the baby thing.
Right.
Skinny,
right.
Fat, I
mean,
tall, small.
I know that's right. I know that's right. Keep that thing going, Mike. No doubt. I know that's right. I know that's right. Keep that thing going, boy. I mean, what else can you do? You know, quit ain't in you. You know what I mean?
No.
So.
No.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Now, I know a few of you like, you know, where the football talk, but I decided, now we discuss all these topics tonight. At full extent, because Thursday, NFL. Thursday, we're going to give the baseball scores. We're going to give the basketball scores. But Thursday's show will be dedicated to NFL talk. So let your folks know, your peoples know, you know, especially somebody that represents a different team outside of San Francisco. We know San Francisco is covered. We know Pittsburgh is covered. We know Dallas is covered. And that's it.
The Washington football team is covered. And Seattle is covered.
Right. So if you have someone who represents one of the other 32 teams that weren't named just now, remember to tell them 563-999-3782. 563-999-3782 is our number. Thursday, we want all the football heads. We want everyone that loves their pigskin to call in and represent their team, and trust, they will be given ample opportunity and time to express themselves. Go ahead, Ms. Therese, we're going to head out of here.
Oh, yes. Well, y'all know my saying. We love you guys today more than yesterday, but guess what? Not as much as tomorrow. We would love to see you guys here back Thursday here, same time, same bat channel. 5 o'clock on the nose. We're going to be here talking NFL draft all 2 hours. The whole 2 hours we're going to be talking draft. So buckle in for that ride, and we're going to take it on home. Y'all know how we
do it right
here on Kale's Corner.
Hey, man, you know, all I got to say is I appreciate y'all, man. I really, truly, seriously do, man. I can't say it enough. You know, you guys are, you guys are the reason my Mondays are my Mondays and my Wednesdays are my Wednesdays, because all I'm doing is reading and preparing to bring Kale's Corner to you all. So, and I thank you. I thank you. I thank you. I can't thank you enough. Everybody be safe. Don't forget Thursday, 5 to 7, all draft talk, all the time. Kale's Corner, NFL football, baby. We back. We back. Mm-hmm. And you know what, Trees? I thought about it. I thought about my annual draft day party. You know, I can't even do it this year. I haven't done it about 3 years now, you know. Hey, sooner or later, we'll get back to doing that. We'll get back around to that. So, again, you guys don't forget, 563-999-3782. Tell somebody what they're doing over here on Kale's Corner, man. We'll catch up with y'all Thursday.
Yeah.
Now I'm stuck here hollering that old girl. Got one, got two, three, four, girl. Shotgun, in the drop, made a right. Hot one, hot two, tell them, take a hike. In this zone to the next, on to the next one. Hard to move in when you always regret one. I wonder sometimes, I wonder if I, what's wrong?
Where I will.